So in esports, understand this. Credit is a weapon, not a currency. It's about social control. It's about rewarding your friends. It's about punishing your enemies. It's about punishing wrongthink. So people will even say, sure, he might have done X, Y, and Z, but look at what he said. No, I'm sorry. Actions supersede words. And tons of actions supersede a few words you don't like and have intentionally misinterpreted or mischaracterized. So what happened was, people who were rivals of mine, peers of mine, people I've had beef with in the past, they all came out the woodwork scurrying out to get their little shot in and shit all over me. So you had DJ Wheat go out there, do a talk show episode where he was mocking the idea that I'm esports, mischaracterizing my statements intentionally and acting like I basically said I just built a whole industry and him and the rest of them did nothing. Even though you can see what a massive hypocrite he is. And part of that, by the way, is just beef from the Yes Reality days, just other things. He just doesn't like me in general. Probably thinks he's very politically different. Never had a conversation with me about those topics. Shitty little slasher crawled out of his hole. Oh, by the way, I've heard the reason he hadn't been tweeting for all this time is he has a whole bunch of swords of Damocles just hanging over his head that he knows at any moment can drop and fucking end him. I won't explain why, because that's never been my style, really. This is the same loser, by the way, where he was on Twitter saying I'm a harmful figure, shit, bad person, like I'm saying all these terrible things. And then I would be going to events in New York and he would attend the event and try to stalk me and was at one point literally screaming down the corridor of the Barclays Center like, Thorin, Duncan, you can't ignore me. You can't just walk away from me. Screaming. And the security guard was just looking at him like, am I going to have to fucking subdue this guy? This is the same guy who at the same time he was doing all that would be begging my mutuals, people that know both of us, to get him to talk to him, let me talk to him, to unblock him, to just look, he agrees he'll do an apology if you just talk to him and just meet him first. And like, can't we all be friends again? Can't we all interact and make it fun again on Twitter? This is a fucking loser. But he had to come out as well to try and dunk on me, didn't he? Sir Scoots, a guy I've worked with, I consider one of the legends of Counter-Strike. I will never deny his credit. He was an incredibly influential figure and can still be in esports. A true OG legend, Hall of Famer, like a bunch of the other people I've just mentioned. Oh, he called me subhuman for these tweets. He literally dehumanized me with the kind of language. Remember, I don't go on about this, but everyone else loves to go on about dangerous language and dangerous concepts and things that don't belong in esports. He essentially used the kind of language people use before they start killing people in genocides. That's the way he tried to describe me because I made these tweets onto fucking twitter.com, the free bird app. That's what it's doing to the brains and the fucking personalities and the souls of the people who work in the esports industry. So across the board, dog shit fucking response from esports, because I had the gall to defend Semler and to say that I won't just take abuse from women sitting down and say nothing about it. Yeah, exactly. And then came the clout chasers, the other terminal cancer on the esports industry, the people who came along and pretend, I'm going to make a t-shirt that just says I'm esports and give all the profits to women. Did you ever see that money, guys? Did you ever watch the tournament from that? Did any of you, anyone who retweeted that, anyone who bought the t-shirt, did you ever check back in? Of course you didn't, because it wasn't about that. It was about optics. It was about seeming to be the right person. It was about seeming to be a good person. It's about supporting the current thing, TM. It was about being out there, virtue signaling away with the clout chasers, getting your engagement, dunking on people for your engagement, virtue signaling how much you love women, whether you do or not. Sometimes, because you don't, and you done evil things and you're scared of a sword of Damocles hanging over you as well. And then you know what? Here's an explanation for you of what I meant by that statement as well. Tons of other people built esports too and could say I am esports, and I'd go, you are. In fact, I think it'd be cool if we had t-shirts and we just gave them out as a little select group and it would be legit. We'd be the only ones and we were the ones who built esports. How about people like DJ Wheat, Sir Scoots, Red Eye, Joe Miller, The Slash from SK Gaming, Alex Muller, Griff, Ralph Reichhardt from ESL, Carmack, Midway, BDS, Angel Munoz, Isnor, Mira, Nomad, Martin and Nixon at HLTV, Richard Lewis, Mike Sepso, Sundance and Adam Apicella of MLG, Robert Olin of DreamHack, OGN and NBC Game over in South Korea, Frank Nucho of the CPL, Scott Valencia of WSVG and CGS, Torball, Jason Lake, Alex Garfield, all owners, Genghis from Mouse Sports, another owner, Lauren, the famous CS admin in the 2000s from the CPLs, Grey Khan and Hellspawner for a car, the Fragbite people, the readmore.de people from Germany, the Gozy, the demo admin of SK Gaming and So Games, Artosis, Tasteless, Lil Susie, Monte Cristo, the list goes on and on and on, and they're mainly just old school people. I could list like another 200 people or modern day people in the last 10 years have done amazing things and are esports. We all built esports. We are all esports. That is the point. point. There are people who are esports, and there are people who just enjoyed esports and looked from the outside and said, get out of my industry. No, no, homie, it's my industry. You get the fuck out of my industry. That's the way this works. And the fact that my own industry people and colleagues couldn't recognize that shows why the esports industry will always be a piss ant industry, sucking at the teat of the most evil fucking people in the world, accepting the dirtiest money in the world, because these are people who have no standards, who have no sense of loyalty, who don't think of this as something brilliant we built. They think of it just as a hustle and a grind, and they got through the bad days, and now it's time for the money in the gravy train, and let's not rock the boat, and let's say all the right things and get all that dirty, filthy money. Let's get all that blood money. Let's get the money from genocide and people who absolutely abuse and mistreat women. Let's get money from people who are slave drivers. Let's get money from pimps and drug lords. Let's get it all invested and money laundered through this fucking industry, and let's sports wash. Let's get them all coming, and let's make their image better rather than forcing them to become better people to work and engage with us. Let's say we'll use the little bit of credibility and social cachet we have to make your evil empire seem good and seem like a good thing, and the empire was right, .jpg. Let's do all that, shall we? Let's do some of that.
Same fan, again, lots of opinions about people being kicked. Then talks about the fact that Shroud was cut from Cloud9. And he says, links to a video and says, apparently Jordan, nothing was cut from Cloud9. He says, apparently Jordan was going to bench himself and was aware of the kick, but Stewie went to his house and talked to him about it. Again, not Stewie's prerogative. Nothing to do with Stewie, actually. It should be Jack from Cloud9 going and having that conversation there. Don't know why Stewie would have to tell him to his face, oh, you know, we're professional video game players. Well, I've got an opportunity to get a better professional video game player teammate to play with me in this professional video game that we play in competitions professionally for. Can I have your grace or your thanks, or maybe you could like forgive me for wanting to get a better team? Like, what's the problem here? Can he still not be friends with him outside of playing a team with him? Why does he have to tell him to his face? That's the least important part of being kicked, is when they tell you and how. The fact that you are kicked is the problem, right? You wanted to be on the team still. Or, in some of these cases, maybe you thought you were still good enough to be on the team. That's irrelevant to how they tell you. I mean, write it on a fucking... write it with a piece of shit on a piece of tree bark, roll it up, put it in a bottle, throw it in the ocean, let it go all the way around the ocean five times, get picked up by a little fisher boat, taken somewhere, put in a museum one day, and then Kiyoshima comes along and then looks inside, and then Scuff goes, oh, what's in this exhibit here? And he goes, I'm kicked from fate. What the fuck is this? I wanted to be in that team. But you're not, though. You've been kicked, though. Yeah, but the way they told me, though, if they'd have... you know, to my face. Told me to my face. Yeah, but you're still kicked, aren't you, Keo? How does that help you, though? You don't get to start still. No, but my face. Say things to my face. Anyone who speaks like that, by the way, that says nothing about Kiyoshima. That says nothing about Shroud. That says nothing about Chewie. Says nothing about Cloud9. Says nothing about FaZe. You know what it tells you about is the guy making this comment. And the guy making this comment actually sounds like emotionally... he is on the level of like a 12-year-old kid. Like, yeah, you wouldn't say that to my face, though, would you? Nah, society doesn't operate that way. We've got something called civilization. We've got, you know, polite behavior. We've got a manner of behaving where you can just do things in a calm, rational manner because they make sense. And the other person can interpret it in a calm, rational manner. You don't have to go, yeah, you want to kick me from this team? You got to go through me first and say it to my face. And this guy, 29 points, says, thank Mr. Bumio. Oh, wait, I've been a subscriber for months and have now spent over $50 for something they're giving me for free. Except that's not what you were ever a subscriber for. Because remember, it said you're a subscriber, right? You didn't just subscribe for 1 month and download all the content. Now, first of all, you can't download the videos anyway. But let's imagine you could have done that, right? You could subscribe for 1 month and get it all, which is what's happening now when they give it for free, right? You don't subscribe at all and get it all for free. That's the problem, though, right? Because if you'd have done that at the beginning, you'd have got some of the videos, but you wouldn't have got all of them, right? Because they hadn't all been released. So each month you were subscribed, you got new videos. You got access to new videos. Yeah, you see the point there? You didn't get the new videos, you got access to them. So it doesn't matter that you were a subscriber in the past, right? If they shut Bumio down, you won't have access to those videos anymore. But wait a minute, I paid $50. It doesn't matter, the site's not up. You paid for access during the months where you were paying. That's why it's a monthly fee. You're paying for access to get to those videos. And not only that, you might have seen the video 3 months ago, but you might go to it now and go, right, I want to watch it again. Oh, wait a second. That's also access, right? You still need the access to go back and watch it again. It's amazing how many people think of all services as if they were like limited products. And as though because they bought this thing once, they are owed like a lifetime's worth of service and like updates. And somehow the value of that product should never drop, no matter what the product. Well, I mean, what a, again, this is like a child encountering the world. Like, this is, wait a minute, I pay. There's a, you can get a free trial at the gym, but I've been paying for the last 3 months.
Well, aren't you in shape though? Didn't you go to the gym for the last 3 months?
Yeah, but now this guy can go for free. It's like I shouldn't have paid for the last 3 months.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be in shape then, would you?
But free, but I paid. You can just see the fucking, the wheels turning, can't you? Or not. Or more like getting caught on like a fucking rusty and like, starts to back up. Fucking white fluids coming out of his ears and nose. Error. And then someone comes along, pops another fucking 10 euro cent piece in the back of his brain. Performing reinitiation of moron. I must shit post. Brilliant. The idea that this half a split or so that he plays in Eddie Carey defines how he's been for a long time and shows that he's been meh, I don't get it. Like, I never got it back in season 5, because in season 5, I thought in summer of that season, Piglet was hard carrying. He was fucking insanely good at times in that game, and he was the one player you could always require, always almost rely on to get leads, to get advantages, and then it was on the others and the lack of shot calling that they weren't always able to close it out, make it deep in the playoffs. I don't understand this perspective at all, and it goes without saying, as usual, despite this comment having 252 points, it is just a rank opinion from someone we don't know, with no basis given to it, no explanation, no explication of what's going on. He doesn't say like, oh, he was met in as much as, you know, he didn't fit with his team and he didn't seem like he understood the meta champions or for a long time. He doesn't say, oh yeah, actually, I always thought he was a bit overrated in those areas when the team was good. And actually, he didn't fit the current style of etiquette. He didn't give any reasons, basically. He just said he's been meh for a long time. And people are like, yep, I agree with that post. Ding, 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 ding. Like, fucking hell. Is this not supposed to be a place for discussion? Is it just supposed to be, let's see whose opinion is the most well-liked and popular? There's many, many threads on the internet that have a neutral topic or aren't explicitly appreciation threads where you can say all those things about that person if you really are that kind of guy who wants to do that. But the idea that a thread specifically about praising the person or talking about what's good about them and appreciating them, you go in there and then shit on the person, to me, that's not just rude. Like, that just kind of says something about you as a person, really. Like, that's really kind of shitty. And I realize, by the way, in saying this, it's a waste of effort for me to say that, because the sort of person who does that isn't going to listen to this and go, yeah, good point, I won't do that anymore. They're going to do it anyway. I'm just saying that's how I frame them. That's the context I put them in, because they're not just making a comment or just expressing free speech and just doing it in this particular sense. It's like if someone had a book club, right? And they said, oh, every Tuesday we'll have a book club for Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce. And then I go around there and I sit there. And then when everyone starts saying, oh, what I really loved was the way the dream logic kind of has a magical quality to it. And at times it alludes to things in history. And I go, you know what? I think James Joyce was a piece of shit. I think he slept with whores. Therefore, he's a man of low character. I think everyone who likes his book is an idiot. And I think, actually, I want to start talking now about Great Expectations by Charles Dickens. Like, that would be inappropriate. And they rightfully and appropriately would ask me to leave. And arguably, if I refuse to, should eject me at that point in time. So there is a difference between free speech, especially in a neutral or a public setting, and what is essentially a discussion where the terms are fairly set and it's inappropriate and no one actually wants to hear that sort of communication there. Now, it's Reddit, you can say what you want, but that's my thought on it. Now, the other thing as well is, loads of TOs and other talent were like, look, just call him, like, you know, nothing will happen to you. We'll even, like, bill it like a cool angle. Like, probably most of the fans will even get into it. Maybe he can even be the villain. And I was like, yes, you're totally right in all regards. But I don't want to go to an event where some one person might just spoil the whole event. So I'm not doing it. And crucially, as I'll get to later, I never needed the events. I didn't have to do it for money. I didn't have to do it for status. So I really could pick and choose in a way others can't. And because of how I've played the political chess game, notice how every time people think I'm checkmated, I somehow get out of check. And then I checkmate the other broadcaster and he has to hire me
me back and doesn't beat me and ban me. It's weird. It's almost like you guys don't know what you're talking about. And you're just talking about a shitty little soap opera that's actually my life and career, but you think it's just a silly TV show that you can guess. You've never guessed correctly so far. That's why I'm still here now in 2022. That's why I could have worked a major in 2022. You all told me I was done in 2014. You all told me I'd never get majors in the first place. Then you told me ESL would never hire me again. You told me, never, no chance, Blast would never bring you in. Worked with Blast again after that. Oh, Stalin, ha, why would they hire you? Exactly. Across the board, you're wrong every single time, aren't you? So here's the key thing. That came, yes, after I knew I was working with Flashpoint. But because the Flashpoint project scared ESL and the team so much, ESL, in my opinion, one of the most egregious, fucking insane moments in competitive integrity history, took qualified Pro League spots, especially for certain North American teams, that were of small orgs and just stole the slots from them and gave those to other orgs. Sometimes orgs without even good teams or teams that at the time had shown nothing and just gave them that because they were a bigger org and they wanted a different business partner. But just partway through the whole process of being in Pro League. Remember, Pro League was what those players fought for with the PEA thing. And now they're not going to join Flashpoint. They're going to let someone fuck over other teams and then they're going to play with them for a tiny bit more that Nicola Nyom's negotiated. That's whack. And so I decided in that moment, wait a minute, listen, I've looked... It's not that I've looked past what ESL's done. It's more like I just viewed my job as my job, ESL's job as theirs, unless they were doing something directly corrupt to me. I never really thought that much about while I'm working with them. Oh, what's going on over here? It's like, that's a different scenario. It's up to them what they're doing in that regard. But that is the point. At this point in time, I decided, nah, actually, that can't fly anymore. Like, if I ever work for ESL again, I can't do it knowing they just steal slots from players after bigging up those players and go, oh, great, underdogs. Hey, yeah, caught from Pro League, by the way. Like, I'm not going to do that. So I thought, in this moment, I'm going to take a stand. And I'm going to take a stand that's a real one. Not just, I don't like this. It's like, here's what's happening. I'm never going to do this because of this until they change in this way. I'm going to demand ESL gets better. Spoiler, that isn't going to happen from ESL probably ever now, right? So, yes, we understand. We understand reply guys and NPCs. Yes, LS is talking in an ideal sense. He's seeking an ideal. He's trying to aspire to the best way you could play the draft, because obviously you can calculate all that before you have to go in the server and the humans fuck it all up with the mistakes and don't execute correctly. People hammer that, right, in a way where they just don't acknowledge there's value to it. They think it dismisses it. I was never saying that, because I was one of the first people to say it to LS on my talk shows. Look, mate, the thing is, you're doing it in a way that I agree would be perfect if you had the perfect players, but robots don't play this game, and especially will have a hard time doing things like executing certain types of scaling comps or playing like poker comps where you can't ever get caught with a certain player. Like, listen, a lot of players are just going to fuck that up, especially in a region like LCS. Now, the problem with that is, when I said all that, now everyone just repeats the same thing, and in the most lazy way ever. Like, that's just the most NPC. He just thinks they're all robots. Like, even listen to what he's saying. Like, yeah, but that's kind of his premise, you know. His point is that he can't control the play of the game. He's just telling you what would be the best possible approach. So, as usual, plebs are legitimately 3 to 4 years behind, but think they're the one coming up with a really great, sick thought. Because let's be real, at this point in time, Reddit is like a neural net that's a fucking retard just repeating shit that it seemed based on the algorithm that like other people liked and had said. Therefore, if I keep repeating it, they might think I'm like them, and then therefore they might upvote me, and then I might seem like I know what I'm talking about, and I'm getting a lot of upvotes, so I knew I had a point. Like, man alive, it's just tiresome. It's just tiring. You just got to stay away from there if you're a legit expert, unless you're going to monetize it and make fun of it and roast it, which is a great use of it. Stay away. It'll just hit you. It's bad. The better team, are you ready for this? This is a mind blow, guys. The better team might even choose to intentionally fuck up the draft for themselves at some point to take a key pick from the opposing team that they know completes the opposing team's comp. Therefore, you cripple their comp to some degree. Like, it's the key pick. And also, because we're better than them, so maybe we can handle it in a war of attrition, but they can't. Like, them having very few tools or not a clear way to win might actually just dissolve them immediately. Maybe the team that relies massively on, like, a coach, Dylan Falco, to tell them how to play and some fundamentals, and it just throws them off completely. In my opinion, this was one of the strengths that the old G2 from Season 9 going into Season 10, this is one of the things they could do. They could just say, we quit how our draft was going halfway through. Let's take this mad pick, flex it, and yeah, we will actually put that in a position that it's not even as good in, but you can't have that champion now, so good luck. Yeah, we're going to take Azir, so I'm sorry, Figure. One of the few champions you can play. Yeah, we'll take it, mate. Oh, I know it's not really the caps champion, he doesn't really like it. But hey, we'll just take it from you. Yeah, they could do that. What is this whole angle that they're trying to go to? This whack angle where they're the ones who play the gender card. They're the ones who play, like, she's a woman. Why are you just attacking a woman? Like, What is this bullshit? What is this like? Can you guys just leave Doublelift, the world famous streamer, and his girlfriend, president of TSM, the team he plays for, who's discussing a private sales status of a current teammate in earshot of his stream? Why can't you just leave them alone to their private relationship? I wish we fucking would. I wish they'd leave us alone. It's a fucking joke. I don't care about this TMZ shit. I don't want to have to discuss it ever. Get it the fuck out of the business side of the esports industry, or just make it only about business and have no personal relationship. You do the choice, then you live with the fucking consequences. Me. We didn't make this about that. You did, and you have to take responsibility for continuing to allow it to be one of the main topics of conversation with some people, not me, but with other people. The Beatles said they get by with a little help from their friends, but I get by with a little help from my Patreon community. And this video was kindly supported by Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Ahmed Haju, Bot Pounder 420, Toucan, Animosity, Tobias Bernasconi, Jensen Gore, Tosh, and a special thanks always goes out to my main man, Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask me a question in my monthly video AMA? Do you want teasers to find out who are the upcoming guests? Maybe you want to take part in one of those lengthy but intense esports discussions I have with my donators, or maybe you want to suggest a guest or a topic that I could cover. Well, if any of those tickle your fancy, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today, where in the description box below there is a Patreon link.